You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Colombia has just elected its first left-wing president in the country's history. Gustavo Petro, an ex-rebel fighter, will step into the country's top job, winning with 50.5% of the vote over millionaire and construction magnate Rodolfo Hernandez. I spoke to Alejandra Aristizabal, an education student from Colombia, about Petro's victory.
Yeah, so as a Colombian person, I'm really happy. And I can say this not only for me, a lot of Colombians here in New Zealand as well were celebrating yesterday. And also, like the people in Colombia yesterday, there has never been like a celebration after an election. And yesterday, like rivers of people were in the streets, like singing, dancing until very late. So it was like for the first time that people, like daily life people, people in the streets, especially the most marginalized people, they felt that it was their victory, that they had put a president that represent them. And it was like very celebrated everywhere. It was like really beautiful to see the videos of the people just like with such like so much happiness and joy about this election.
Gustavo Petro is known as being Colombia's first left-wing president. What kind of issues did he campaign on?
Yeah. So definitely it is a very important victory in the sense that we had never been governed by the left, and this is in part due to like our histories, but also I think to the importance of our position in the region, because we are in the middle of like, we are what connects Central America with South America. So we have been a strategic ally of the United States for a long time. And I think that that has influenced why they have always wanted to keep it more or less in that way. But the things in which Petro campaigned, which is more your question, is basically social justice, because Colombia is one of the most unequal countries in the world and the most unequal country in Latin America, I think, after Brazil or maybe the first or second, I'm not completely sure, but like inequality in Colombia is awful. We know that it takes 11 generations for people to achieve social mobility, socioeconomic mobility. So you can imagine how much 11 generations is. And the fact that the vice president was a former maid, she is also a black person, the first black woman to be the vice president, but she was a former maid. So giving that message that someone who used to be a maid can be a vice president is a very strong message, like for Colombian people. But also, so I was saying social justice was definitely one of the key points of Gustavo Petro's agenda. The peace, taking forward the peace, because we signed a peace agreement with one part of the guerrilla forces in 2016, but with the shift of the government that had signed it to the government of Duque, which was the last 4 years, the peace agreement wasn't implemented on the part of the government because they just wanted, they never agreed with the agreement in the first place, so they really pushed it back, and there was a lot of killing of the people that had left the guerrilla forces. So like 200 people that had left the arms were killed during Duque's government. So implementing the peace agreement was another factor that was very important in Gustavo Petro's agenda, and also the environmental aspect, so fighting against climate change and making sure that Colombia isn't exploited more than what it should. So for example, fracking, you know, I don't know if you are familiar with fracking or if people know what fracking is, but fracking is a technique for getting petroleum oil down, like exploding rocks deep down the earth, and it's very environmentally like damaging. And Gustavo Petro was the candidate that was against, and he said that in his government there was not going to be fracking, and also that he was going to take care of our paramount, like there's the top of the mountains that have been in risk because of explorations of minerals and so on, minery. He is also going to take care of that, and I think that that is very important part for the other important thing for many people in Colombia at the moment, and especially for indigenous communities.
You've mentioned inequality in Colombia being one of the worst in South America. How important was it that Gustavo Petro was running against someone who is a construction magnate and a millionaire? How much do you think that factored in?
Well, it's actually very interesting, and it's tricky because this person, so what made this election so particular was because this person was kind of a Trump in the sense that he was coming out of nowhere, like he wasn't anyone, like he wasn't in politics like at any point.
Right.
And he presented himself as an outsider that was also like an alternative from what we had always have, that was like traditional politics. Because after the last government, with the social outburst that we had last year, that was very violent because the repression that went out on the streets was very hard, and there was a lot of people that were killed and disappeared during that. After that, people didn't want anything that looked like the actual government. So people were like really, really tired of what we had had for the previous 4 years and for the previous like history, basically. So people really wanted to change someone, and this guy presented himself as someone that was also an outsider. So it was also tricky because a lot of people also thought that he was the face of change.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely for other part of the Colombian people that saw in him a rich person, it impacted because they didn't feel represented on by what he was. And I want to say that more than Gustavo Petro himself, like the figure of Francia Márquez, the vice president, she was very, very important because she was the one that made people see themselves represented. You know, like Francia is really the person that represents the people down in the bottom. And for people seeing someone as her aiming to be the vice president was very powerful. And I think that that was something that definitely put a lot of voters, put a lot of votes on their side.
Mm. This is Gustavo Petro's third try running for presidency. And this is the first time he's actually won. What challenges is he going to face moving forward in his leadership?
Yeah, so he is going to face like huge challenges, of course, because he has the whole political establishment that is against him, and he has the economic elites and, yeah, the political and economic elites that have had the power for the last 214 years. So imagine how hard is it going to be, like, breaking an hegemony that has lasted, mm-hmm. like, for so long, basically, since, like, our republics were constituted after the independence. Like, it has been always the elites that have been in power and that have made sure that they continue to have the power and the money, and that the rest of the people continue to be disenfranchised. So they're going to have a lot of resistance to let go of that, because they know that with Gustavo Petro's government, they will be facing the loss of the privileges that they have had through their alliances that aren't... how can I say, aren't even like legal, in the sense that they have used the state for their own benefit,
right.
not for the benefit of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he is going to face a lot of resistance. But I mean, we have seen it from the opposition already, like the current government, what is going to become the opposition. We have seen the things that they have been putting out, like in the media, and they are like, yeah, because these elites, they have presented always Petro as the face of communism, and they have always said that if he wins, we are going to become like Venezuela and like, you know, like they've put all these fears for years and years and years. So there's people that still believe that. And there's people that are afraid because they think that Gustavo is going to expropriate people and take away their properties, which is obviously not the case. Gustavo Petro is like aiming for a social democracy. He is not communist, and he is not embodying like that politics. But because these rumors have been out for so long, people are afraid. And I think that the thing is also that the most powerful, the elite, they also control a lot of the mainstream media channels. So they have been like putting out what they want people to hear through those media channels. So I think that he is going to have a lot of challenges. He's going to face a lot of opposition from the politicians. But I also think that there's one positive thing, apart from all the forces that are waking up from Colombia, that are the popular forces, the grassroots forces, the indigenous, the Afro communities. Apart from that, the fact that the whole politics of the Latin American region is starting to shift towards the left, like with the victory of Chile, of Boric in Chile, and what is going probably to happen in October with Brazil, that they're probably going to elect Lula. With Mexico, we had AMLA, that is also towards the left. So it is looking as if there was going to be the beginning of a big alliance in Latin America with all this. In Peru as well, they have elected last year, they elected a president from the left. So it's looking as if there was going to be a very important bloc that is going to constitute, that is going to be able to demand, like to have more force to demand what the Latin American region needs in their relationship with like more strong countries like the U.S. that has always controlled and dominated a lot of what happens in Latin America.
That was Alejandra Aristizabal, an education student from Colombia, speaking to me about the recent presidential election.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.